Be all glad to be here worshiping Jesus Christ today. God's a part of it, man. And I want to tell you something. It's exciting to see every one of you here today. And I'm going to blow you away. How many of y'all realize you were supposed to be here today? Come on, think about it for a minute. You were supposed to be here today. Some of you say, well, watch this. We've had people pull off the road. I got to tell you some real stories, and they're going to sound bizarre and crazy. We've had people pull off the road, and I meet them out in the parking lot, usually where I hang out. And they go, we have no idea why we turned in today. But we turned in today, and this is my 12-year-old son, and they met Jesus today. Now, here's what I want you to know. God wants to be in you. I think you got to get that before you go on this spiritual journey. God desires to be in people. Now, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians for this fall quarter. The book of Ephesians is very intense in understanding that God is in charge and you're connected to God. Go over that with me. God is what? In charge. And you're connected to God in Christ. Now, if you're a guest here today, you hang out at Hillview, you're going to hear about Jesus all the time. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We never get tired of the name of who? Jesus. So I want you to know what we believe. Now, this is a crazy belief in today's time. We at Hillview Heights Church believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and there's no other way into heaven. There's no other way into heaven. Now, this is not culturally vogue. This would get you in big trouble on the Oprah show. In fact, I wish Oprah would have me for an afternoon. I would love 10 minutes with Oprah. Because, see, Oprah would say stuff like this to me. Well, Pastor Ayers, so you believe that people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ go to hell? And, see, I wouldn't have been like another preacher that had on there that smiles a lot and goes, well, I don't want to offend anybody. My question would be, an answer would be a quick yes. But I want you to know it is God's desire that no one go to hell. But when you refuse the way of God, you cannot reap the benefits of God. Write that down. That's big today. Get that. When you refuse the way of God, you do not reap the benefits of God. And thus, we enter into Ephesians. And in Ephesians, here's what's going on. Paul is writing to this church at Ephesus, and he's saying, here are the essential ingredients of the faith. Pastor Allen, I believe that Ephesians are the cliff notes of Romans. Paul's saying, I don't have time to go over Romans again, but here are the bullet points of what's essential. Now, how many of y'all found this in life? If I stay what is with the essentials of life, I end up where I need to be. Essentials are important. There's essentials in everything. We call them essentials. Sometimes we call them fundamentals. Essentials. What's this? I'm coaching football. Again, it's that time of year. I had the team gathered the other day. This year I'm coaching freshmen. What a joy. Oh, how many of y'all have ever been 14? Some of you passed it up. I looked at them the other day, and I find that people want to make things complicated. Finally looked at them, I said, boys, this is a simple game. We have a little oblong thing. It's called a ball. There's going to be a real fast guy. He's going to try to run it down the field. You tackle him. You other guys block other people so that can't happen. That's the game of football. And you think that's a simple game? Basketball. You put a pair of shorts on and throw the ball through the hoop. That's the essential. I mean, if you can't get the ball through the hoop, it doesn't matter all the other strategies. Come on, follow me. I'm going somewhere with this. Sometimes in the church, we get so caught up in everything else that we've left the essential of Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Just Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, go with me to the first chapter of Ephesians. Here at Hillview, we're not smart enough pastors to skip around the Bible, so we just go verse by verse through the Bible. So we're going to cover six verses today, but they have a whole lot of truth in them. And here's the first truth. We operate because God is God. We're going to start there. We can say what we say because what, Sheriff? God is what? God. I mean, you're a pretty big boy, but you ain't bigger than God. I mean, when God looks at you, Sheriff, guess what he says? There's a sheriff in need of grace. When Sheriff looks at Pastor Ayers, he goes, guess what? There's a pastor in need of grace. When God looks at you, he sees his grace. Now think about that for a minute. When God looks at you, He sees His grace. Or does He? Because what is inside of every one of us? The grace of God. What's really our plan tomorrow? Go be a reflection of the grace of God in all that we do. So I want you to see the Apostle Paul. He truly understands that he is living out the power of God in his life. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. How many of y'all live like that? Put your name in that. Chris or Bob or Billy Joe or Sherry or Mary. By the will of what? God, I will step into life. Now, how many of y'all realize that you are a carrier of God's grace? Well, if you got God's grace in you, guess what I think? It ought to be contagious. How many of y'all got contagious grace? How many of y'all have to warn people? Please, warning. I'm full of grace. Don't sit too close to me. You might get some on you. Contagious. I think the church is a contagious place. Watch. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say this. Well, the church ought to be contagious. No, the church is contagious. If you're in a place that's not contagious, that's not the church. See, here's the problem. You can gather together, have songs, read scripture, and it not be church. Now, guess what? Where lives are being changed by the will of God, there is the what? Church. And I'm glad to know some of it's here. Some of it's here. And it's all over the county. God using people who are filled with His sovereign absolute grace to share with other people so others might be what? Brought into His kingdom. Isn't it interesting? We got a group of theologians now. They're so caught up in the sovereignty of God, they don't understand God's message. God lives in people. Tell your neighbor. Brittany, tell your husband, God lives in you. Because what, big cleaner? Not only can you hit a softball 4 miles out of the park, but who lives in you? God, Jesus. Which is, He took your softball, and sometimes He takes it to a prison where men are hopeless, and God turns a softball bat into a Bible. Now you get it. Now you get it. Wayne, we've seen God take houseboats and make them His boat. See what I'm saying? It's everyday life. Paul, an apostle. Paul says, now here's why I write. I'm an apostle. I know God. I've seen God. I've been a part of God's reality. And I write this to you by the will of who? God. Now check this out. How many of you know you're in Jesus Christ? You know Jesus Christ is in your life. Come on, I'm fixing to get excited. You know Jesus Christ is in your life. Then guess what you can say? By the will of God, I take on tomorrow. And then I think we got to get a new rhythm. His next words, look at Paul's next words. This is a Paul kind of deal. This is his what's up. Grace and peace to you. Paul's always saying that when he writes. Grace and peace to you. But here's what I want to challenge you all. That should be our rhythm. That should be our rhythm. That is the rhythm of the church. Grace and peace to what? To you. From God our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. How many of you realize we got to be a grace and peace to you kind of people? Our first step is what? Grace. Why did Paul say grace first? There's no peace without grace. He didn't say peace and grace. He said what? Grace and peace. May you understand that we've been changed by Jesus Christ, and may the same thing happen to you also. Peace be with you. How many of you realize you don't have any peace till you have forgiveness? Come on. Now let me explain this. How many of y'all are married? Anybody in here married? Okay, now I'm going to really push the question. How many of y'all are married and like it? Okay, good. That's good. That's good. That's good. I like you guys. All right, now we're fixing to get really honest. How many of y'all are married, other than Elizabeth here, because I already know her answer, have had a fight in your marriage? Good, y'all being honest today. And those of you that don't have your hand up, if you'd please come and preach so I can figure out how to do that. Grace and peace to you. Now listen, if Elizabeth and I don't forgive each other in marriage, guess what? We never have peace in marriage. And that's never fair. Marriage is not fair. Relationships are not fair. Life is not what?
fair.
I promise you this. Elizabeth has to forgive me more than I have to forgive her. Now, what's astonishing me is y'all don't have a shocked, awe look on your face. That's called what? Grace. Now, Sheriff, could we get along if we waited to even up? No. Now you're understanding grace. Grace is not about being even. It's about being in the will of God to love. See, for me personally, I think we're in big trouble because everybody's demanding their rights. What you're going to see is you're going to watch, in my opinion, a lot of implosion of our nation because we're demanding our rights. Listen how we say it. Our rights instead of His will. Our rights will never lead to peace. Watch this. How many of y'all found this? Come on, you had this experience in life at least once. You got what you wanted, and when you got it, you didn't like it. So you got what you thought was your right. Once you righted it, you still were not at peace. Grace and peace to you in our Lord Jesus Christ, says the Apostle Paul. So watch, right off the bat, we have this established. We need to know God. We need to be a part of God. We need to follow God's will. And we need to live in a rhythm of grace and peace to what? To you. What if that was the church's dance? Grace and peace to you, brother. Grace and peace to you, what? Sister. I'm going to live out grace and what? Peace. You know what we tend to live out? Protest and shame. Now I'm going to blow some of you away. Please, if you want to be offended, be offended. You should be offended. Would somebody please stand up and biblically show me where the church protested one thing? Cynthia, do you recall over, you've studied the Bible more than a decade. We'll only go that far, right? Cynthia, can you recall one place where Jesus said, go and protest the sin of the world? No. I can't either. But since 1980, I've seen more protest brochures, more politicians protested, and by the way, it hadn't worked! It didn't work! Why? Chris Allen, here's my first clue. It's unbiblical. So even things that sound right that are unbiblical still don't produce grace and peace results. Look at what Paul did. Grace and peace to you. Now he's writing into Ephesus. If you know anything about Ephesus, it's a crazy place. They worship false gods. They have idols. They're trying to save themselves like much of us. They believe in many gods. And Paul says to this community, grace and peace to you, the faithful. And then now let's look at who he's writing to. Who? The saints. Well, what are saints? There are more than fans that live in New Orleans. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to know. How many of you are going to line up with the faithful? What does it mean to be faithful? To me, I want to give you a simple definition that works. To believe God even when it doesn't make sense. Those are faithful people. God doesn't make sense. He's never made sense. He's not going to make sense to you. Grace doesn't make sense. Because what do we want to demand? Our rights. How many of y'all want God to be fair? How many of y'all would like to have a fair God? I don't know about y'all, but I hear this in conversation around our city. People always say, well, I tell you what, that's not fair. If you've ever coached a peewee team, you hear about this all the time. I don't care what it is, peewee softball, girls peewee softball, it doesn't matter. They'll come to you and say, coach, this is not what? Fair. How come my child doesn't get to play? Leading reason, they're no good. Leading reason. Tell that to a mother today. You want to die an early death. Just tell a mother of a little leaguer that her son's no good. Even church-going women, demons possess them for an hour during a little league baseball game. So how do you know that, Pastor? I've sat with some of you. Moms. Dads aren't any problem. Because really, dads deep down inside, they know the reality. They're looking out in the field going, man, I hope he learns computers. Because it ain't happening for the dude. But their mother looks at the father and goes, he's probably going to be a major leaguer, don't you think? And they see these eyes realizing their life will be missing many things for weeks if they don't go, probably, honey, I think he's on it. Well, it's a progress, okay? The will of God to the saints of the faithful. Faithful is believing God even when it doesn't make sense. Like Moses did. Like Elijah did. Like Elisha did. Like Ruth did. Like Esther did. And most of all, like the Son of God did. Daddy, you want me to die for the many, even though not all will accept? Go, my son. This is the will of the Father. You know what Jesus said? You know what Jesus said? And may it be so. May the will of the Father be greater than what I see. We just sang that God might make the unseen seen. That's grace. Now let's hit it. You ready? Verse 3. How many of y'all realize you're packing a lot of blessing? Come on, I want you to look at your neighbor here and go, I got some blessings. Just tell them that, okay? Come on. Come on, talk to each other. I mean, if you want to go to regular church, you can sit and stare at a guy for 20 minutes, okay? This isn't regular church. I mean, I want you, Jamie Lee, you packing some blessings. What do you think about that? I'm not talking about the 10 kids you got. I'm talking about poor Jamie. He got married. It took us a while to get him married. Remember, he was a little nervous, right? Not because you weren't marrying a beautiful woman. It's just the whole marriage thing. When you come from Graves County, it's scary to get married. I understand. Well, he gets married, and now the Lord is giving him children by twos. He moves away, and he comes back, and he's got two beautiful twin girls. And I'm saying, now there's a just God. I thought to myself, God could not have given a finer dad two girls. And then I said, Lord, I'm thankful that it was he and not me. Because I'm not smart enough to... Hey, I got two on me right now. I'm done. I wasn't smart enough to take on that. You ready? God gives us blessings. Now look what he says in verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. What? Christ. I'm not going to stay long on this today. Get your praise on. We are people of God. And I'm telling you, you can tell that it's time for us to go. Elizabeth's heard these sermons for a few weeks because I've been building up. I don't want to redefine the church. I want to release the real one. We've been deceiving people for centuries. But especially in this last century. We're to be a praising people. God's done a lot of great things. I hope when you come in this place on Sunday morning, you hear some good news. Because you hear enough bad news during the week. How many of y'all hear enough bad news during the week? You need to hear some praise be to God. You know why? He's put blessing in us. Well, you know, you say, well, where's my blessing? Where's my blessing? It's in you in Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I lost my job this week. Well, okay. What if God's wanting to give you a better one? Well, I didn't think about that. How many of you have ever lost something and found something better? How many of you just don't even know what you're sitting on half the time? And you haven't released it. You see, I don't want you to go get something. I want you to release what you already have. Because look at this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Would you please make this confession if you can? Look over to your neighbor and say, I have enough. Come on. I have enough. Now we've got to clarify this. In Jesus. Red, you have enough in Jesus to be a fine and excellent human being. I mean, one day you're going to grow up. You'll be Big Red and not just Red. That's what happens when you grow up. And guess what? You get married. Now, you don't know who it's going to be yet, so you got to be nice to everybody till you know the one. You following me? You're going to grow up, and guess what? I hope you've listened to some things from your mom and dad, and most of all from Jesus Christ. But you have enough in Jesus Christ to do great things. I think we miss that. You know, how do you think we miss that, Ayers? Why do we have all these conferences? Good Lord have mercy. If the world could be reached by church conferences, everybody would have been saved years ago. You know what I think those things are? Rackets. Money producers. I really do. I believe that. Just rackets. A bunch of Christians get in the Coliseum, jump up and down. And then I've been to some of them that in the hallway. They go, I'm looking for a blessing. Well, is there a booth set up? Get your blessing here? 1995? But you see, when you read the scripture, it changed the way you says, wait a minute, Paul said, listen, I don't have to look for a blessing. Come on. You see, when you start looking for the blessing, the devil has distracted you from the blessing. The blessing is Jesus Christ is your Lord. The blessing is all your sins have been saved. The blessing is we're on our way to heaven. I mean, I really believe that we're on our way to heaven. I tell Elizabeth that every day. I say, Elizabeth, we're on our way to heaven. And you're living with some of it right now. You know what her response is? She says, if this is heaven, I'm not sure I want to go. I said, no, but we're on our way to heaven. I mean, I think we lose sight of that. Yeah, we're raising kids and we're doing life and it's the everyday grind. And guess what? The stock market goes up and it goes down and it goes sideways and we don't even know where it's going lately. But you know what? We're on our way to what? Heaven. I think we forget it. Paul didn't. He said, listen, you got a blessing inside of you. Release it. All things have already been taken care of. Here's why. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Who chose us? Don't lose perspective of that. God chose me. Now, Reverend Crabtree, yes, I'm going to touch this text. It's not controversial for me. It's biblical. It's not theological. It's biblical. Here's what this scripture says. This is not worth 22 books. It's the mission. God made us, God chose us, God saves us, and God will be there at the end. There is one God who sent His Son named Jesus. That's the only way. Case closed. That's the power of the Scripture. He chose us. Notice. It doesn't say, for he chose some to be special and others to be damned. That doesn't say that. It says, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, some of my colleagues are so caught up in the choosing part of that verse, they never get the truth out of it. Holy and blameless in his sight. How many, can I ask you a question? How many of y'all would like to have a more energizing week with God in the week coming than the one you had? Change your eyes. How many of y'all look at each other according to your sight? I'll give you three indications when you're looking through your glasses. How many of y'all have ever looked at another human being and gone, well, I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you what I think about them. Would that not just melt you down? Y'all want to hear the truth? God does not care what I think. You know what I say? Thank God. Because I think a lot of bad things. How many of y'all ever think bad things? Any of y'all think bad things other than the pastor? Y'all ever just look at some people and go, I mean, just is not holy thoughts. Any of y'all ever have non-holy thoughts? Unholy. Okay. Just making sure we're on the same journey. How many of y'all have ever done this? You look at another human being and go, well, I tell you what I feel. You ready?
That doesn't get us there.
What about this one? It's usually in-law comments. Well, if it was me, I would do this. You know what we're trying to do? Impose our will on another what? Human. Now follow me, I'm about to wrap up. This is a helicopter sermon today. I'm not approaching landing. I'm going to drop here in a minute. Some of y'all are going to be jarred because you're waiting for me to get up and say, in 15 minutes, now fasten your seat belts, we're approaching landing. Okay, we're not doing that today. We'll get back to it next Sunday. Think, feel, will are not always his. Paul says it is by the will of God. See people as God sees them. Holy and what? Blameless. Elizabeth, God sees me different than you see me. Let me help you. God sees you differently than I see you. And we share the most intimate relationship we can share on the face of the earth. Marriage. Don, I guarantee you, God looks at you differently than I look at you. Thank Jesus. But y'all got the groove here? Jesus sees you as you will be. Now, y'all want to see a group of people be energized to life that nobody else can have other than in Jesus Christ? Let's start looking at each other in God's sight. Here's what's so exciting. God does not see where you've been. So quit talking about your past. Even in church, sometimes we're like, well, I'll tell you what, back in the day. I mean, what are you bragging about? Back in the day, I was headed to hell. Why don't we talk about the day? Now, in the day of grace, I'm stepping into the reality of heaven and I'm living a large life in Christ. That's a better day. Amen? That's a better day. Look what he says. By the will of God, I write to you. Know who you are. You have been chosen by God. From the very creation moment, God had a grace moment. Holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. You and I are adopted children of the kingdom of God. Let's live accordingly. Yes.
So what are you going to do with that predestination thing?
It's true. Here's what that means. God's not surprised. God doesn't watch the news on Monday evening and go, oh no, what do I do next? He didn't watch that moment when man, Adam, and woman, Eve, ate that fruit, that forbidden fruit. God didn't go, oh, it's all over now. Grace was coming through even in moments that don't look like grace. Write that down. Grace comes through in moments that don't look like grace. So hang in there. How many of y'all glad to be adopted into the kingdom of heaven? Now watch. Here's what that means. Here's why I use the term adoption. Now see, I'm an adopted son twice, so I get this better than some of you birth people. I was adopted by my earthly father, and I am his son. Now all you people that think DNA is the thing, Every day I age, I start making comments like my father. I'm just waiting for all my hair to fall out where I can go, now son. I even do the finger move that I said at 16 I would never, ever, ever, ever do. How many of y'all ever said this to your parents? Well, I'll tell you one day when I'm a parent, I'll never do it like you did it. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all notice you say something and all of a sudden you go, I've heard that before. And it's the echo of what? We're adopted into the kingdom of God. You're adopted by grace. We're adopted by grace. Now let me help you with something. We're all adopted by grace. It's not what you give. It's what you receive. Will you receive the grace of God? Now, once you receive the grace of God, then you can give freely of your life into the kingdom. But our giving doesn't get God's attention. It's our receiving of the things of God that allows us to give freely. We've had it backwards. Wonder where we got that, Pastor Allen. Here's all the devil can do. Reverse the direction of God. God says do it now. The devil says what? Do it later. God says this is the only way. The devil says, oh, there's some other ways. God says, I love you. And the devil says he loves you if you're good. And God just says what? I love you. Well, you know what? There's some exciting things happening here in this church, as well as there is the church throughout the world. Today, some of you are going to receive Jesus Christ because you were here for one reason today. God would like to save you. You're going, Pastor Steve, you don't understand, man. Pastor Steve, now let me tell you, I hear this all the time. I love it. Pastor Steve, I've sinned a whole lot. I go, and? No, you don't understand big ones. Well, I've never read the Bible where it says, I have come to forgive little sins, and if you have any big ones, I can't do it. Have you heard today, with God, nothing is impossible. And God loves you so much, He wants to forgive you no matter what. Hello? Now, what are you thinking? Well, it's not fair. I mean, like, I'm a real big sinner. I'm aware of that. You run Jesus Christ out of my life, I'm not a nice person. I struggle with Him in my life. I can't imagine not having Him in my life. I can mess up. You say, how come you have grace? I was asked that today. Harris, how do you understand grace? I just laughed. I said, I know how to go to hell. I know how to go to hell. Nobody ever had to coach me. Nobody ever had to lead me to there. I naturally found my way to hell. Anybody else like that? You know how I know? Every Friday night, I never read a book on it. I never read a book, How to Raise Hell on Friday Night, a pamphlet, religious brochure. It just came out. It took a cross and resurrection to get me to heaven. It took somebody dying. The Son of God. God Himself, to turn all of us toward heaven. He is precious Lord. His name is Jesus. He never gives up. He is the beginning, He is the end, and He is the always. And today, some of you, for the first time, are going to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Greatest thing can happen to a human being. Stefan gave that illustration today. That I'd be done with where I was going and I would be risen to where God can take me. That's what a baptism says. I'm done with where I'm going and I'm going to be risen where only God can take me. So today I hope you join that. If you've received Jesus Christ throughout the week and you haven't been baptized, we invite you to come and say, you know what? It's time to be baptized. If you have not been baptized, I want you to get that taken care of. Listen, you are with an old-fashioned Baptist preacher here. I am a Baptist that still believes baptism is important. I'm in rare supply. My colleagues have said we believe people coming to Jesus Christ is important as long as we have billions of dollars in the cooperative program. That's not in the gospel. I've looked for the word Baptist denomination in the New Testament. Didn't find it. But I sure found the word baptizio, to baptize, over and over again. To be baptized in grace, with water and fire and power, and live out a full and abundant life. Y'all okay today? Maybe you need to come pray over your family. Maybe you need to come pray over your children. Listen, this is a prayer we're putting out here. I challenged you two Sundays ago. How many of y'all been praying that the unemployment decreased in Warren County? And once again, I want to apologize. Your pastor is slow. Okay, I'm slow. Here we started, this economy got rocky, and never one time did I as a pastor call us to the altar to pray that people would have jobs together. What was I trying to do? Well, we'll get this program going and that program going. We'll get this doing and that doing. Well, you know what? Dear God, Our folk need work. What do you think God might do? Now, don't pray for a job if you don't want to go to work, because guess what God's going to do? He's going to give you a job. Then y'all be walking around going, well, I tell you what, Lord, it ain't the job I want. Well, let me tell you what. When you don't have a high school, you kids better be listening to me. When you didn't finish your high school degree, you better take the one he gives you. So Monday morning, I'd study pretty hard if I was in the third grade. Let's pray. God wants to do something great. Stefan, once again, thank you for being obedient to baptism and setting an example for others today. Stefan, you can go ahead and give a witness here. Did the baptism hurt you at all? Was it a painful experience? You look like you've breathed well through this whole service, sitting by people that love you. Okay, because I have people come up to them and say, Pastor Steve, I'm scared to get baptized. You know what I tell them? It's water. It's not acid. I do have this privilege. I've seen thousands of baptisms. I've been part of thousands of baptisms, literally. That's not even preacher talk. That's for real. Brother Crabtree, we have not had a drowning during a baptism ever. We had one close one time. Pastor Whittle was 5'2", and he was baptizing 6'9", about 400 pounds. And when he went down to bury him in Jesus, we had two funerals. We got him risen, though. God did. Let's pray. Lord, it's been a beautiful day to worship you, as is every day. But right now, Father, I pray for the human beings, those that you've created, men and women, boys and girls, beautiful people that you made from the foundation of the world that need to come to know you today. So, Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to draw our consciousness to understanding you're real. Now, as the Spirit has your attention, if you know you've never asked Christ into your life, ask him. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Praise be to God. We talked about that today. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you're risen. Maybe you need to come and pray today. You come and do that. God would love to have you do that. If you need to be baptized, you may need to come and be baptized. If you need to come and just say, God, I just need to be reminded who you are in me. That's enough. Well, let's stand together. We're going to have an altar for just a few moments. We're not dragging the altar out because the Spirit's already been moving. Y'all have been so beautiful today. Let's let God just take this moment, all right? Lord Jesus, move this altar and move us to the altar. Those who need to be baptized in Christ, those who need to come to Christ, those who need to be forgiven, you know. You know. So guess what? I still got good news this Sunday. The altar's open. The altar is open. You can come and be touched by the grace of God. Wherever. Come on, in the name of Jesus. As we come forward, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Come on. Come on.